As John said, if you could have your finger in the passage that we read earlier, that would be useful, hopefully, for you and also for me as you follow the passage. And as we read the passage, this is a passage that is really, really well known. It's a passage that many of you would have heard right the way through from Sunday school, would have read it many times. But if we understand this passage correctly, then it's something that can really infuse our daily life. And that would be my hope and prayer this morning, that God would speak to us through a passage that is so well known. And it just wouldn't be another story that we think, wow, God did something amazing. But the lessons, the couple of lessons that we can hopefully draw from it this morning would touch our hearts and help us in our walk with God this week. It's a very important chapter in the Bible, chapters 13, 14, and 15. It's a chapter that kind of permeates the rest of the Old Testament and goes right into the New Testament. Some of the themes that we see from this chapter we'll see in the New Testament as well. It's mentioned on over 25 different occasions in the Old Testament, what happened here in this particular chapter. And simply we see that this is a God who rescues his people. So there's a couple of things we'll look at this morning. First of all, we'll look at a God who guides. And then secondly, we'll look at a God who delivers. So firstly then, a God who guides. And if you have your, if you look at the chapter, this is kind of towards the end of chapter 13 and the first half of chapter 14. As a reminder, the Israelites are leaving, they triumphantly left Egypt. God has delivered them miraculously. They've left Egypt in the middle of the night. They're laden with the gold and silver. They plundered the Egyptians. You remember the Egyptians gave them their silver and their gold. And after all the signs, the plagues, the judgments against Pharaoh and Egypt, and then the final judgment, as we heard last week, of the Passover, the Egyptians have urged them to leave. And the Israelites, they are free. They are no longer slaves. And we see from verse 17 in chapter 13 that God is leading them. His leading is unmistakable. He goes ahead of them in this massive pillar of cloud and at nighttime of fire. And he visibly shows them, this is, I am your God. And he will lead them and he will guide them. And they will be with them. And we see in verses 17 and 18, he's making decisions for them. Not only is he visible, he's making decisions for them. God decides the route that they will take as they leave Egypt. And in accordance to the promise that was given to Abraham centuries before this, they're carrying out Joseph's bones from Egypt. And at this point, they would have expected to go directly to the land of Canaan. If you remember the promise, God had promised Abraham that the land of Canaan would be theirs. And they would have expected to go straight there, about 200 miles away from where they were. But God takes them and decides that they're not ready for that route. And in verse 17 he says, well, if war comes, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. And so he doesn't take them along the trade route, the shortest route that would have taken them to the land of Canaan. He takes them via the wilderness. God takes them on the route that they're to go to. So they don't go on the road to into the wilderness because of necessarily their own choice or because they've done something wrong. God simply leads them there. And he's making decisions for them. But all is well. They are free. God is leading them. God is in the middle of them. They're starting their life as a community, as a nation, under this divine leadership of God. And each one of us here this morning, if we're a believer, then we are under God's divine leadership, under God's guidance. And if you look at the first verse in chapter 14, we see this continues. The Lord says, God is still leading them, but he wants them to turn back. And he explains to Moses why. The law says to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back. They're to camp by the sea. The Israelites. And Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion. See, God wants the Israelites to turn back. To go and camp by the sea. He's deliberate about it. And he gives them precise instructions. And so they're left with no doubt where they're to go to, where they are to retreat to. But as you all know, their obedience leads them straight into a life-threatening trap. Verse 9. And at the same time, we have Pharaoh. He realizes his mistake and he's pursuing the Israelites. He arrives with his army and they are trapped. And you get the sense of fury from the passage as Pharaoh musters his whole army. You can imagine them. This, we are going after these people. These people who set plagues against us, who destroyed our economy. We're going against these people, this God who has just killed the firstborn in each of their families. And the army is coming, filled with rage, fresh from the memory of their children who have died. And the Israelites look up. And there were the Egyptians marching against them. Maybe you picture yourself there. Sometimes it's easy to read these stories and think, oh yeah, okay, fine. But picture yourself there. Only days and weeks before, they'd all seen the mighty acts of God impact the whole country. They're thankful they've left Egypt unopposed. They see that they've got God there, visibly, as a pillar of cloud and fire by night. But now, they are surrounded. They've got the sea blocking their way out one way. They've got mountains either side, and then straight ahead of them, they've got this army. And understandably, they are terrified. They are full of fear. They are afraid. A situation where they are helpless. They are powerless to get out. There's no way that they could stay and fight against the Egyptian army. God's already led them this way because they were too weak to face the Philistines. And it's not recorded in the passage, but you can understand them saying to themselves, what is God doing? Has God gone back on his promises? Is this a God who loves us? They can ask, they've been forgiven for asking, God, why is all this happening? They'd obeyed God, they'd followed his lead, and now they're in this terrible situation. And maybe you've felt like that at times in your life. You're following God, but gripped by fear, or a time in your life when you're full of worry. I can certainly recall times in my life, particularly when kind of the period around when Teo and was diagnosed and all that kind of stuff, when family circumstances are difficult. Maybe you're in unbearable pain, or your job, you can't find a job, or your health keeps failing, or old age is frustrating you. The bills are piling up. Well, there are times in our lives when things are just too complicated. Too many factors beyond our limitations, too big for us. Because we are limited, and the Israelites were limited in what they could do. The situation is beyond their control. The Egyptians are too strong for them, and big for them, and they're hemmed in on all sides. We as Christian people, we can't shy away from the fact that God sometimes raises difficult situations in the way of his own people. And the Bible gives us example after example. We see the evidence of it in our own lives. We're not exempt from the trials of life. And although we are God's people, following his guidance, his commands, we face these hardships, just as everyone else. And here, even though they are God's children, and God is leading them, he leads them the wilderness way. And God designs and brings about a situation where they are trapped, with no apparent way out. So secondly, a God who delivers. Well, why has God done this? Well, it's quite simple and at the same time quite profound. God has put them in a place where they will know to the very core of their being and for generations to come, that they belong to God. And God, who will and can rescue them. And that's why he brought this situation about. He wanted them to see that he is an awesome God. He's deliberately put them there so they can have no mistake who their deliverer is. Yahweh, the Almighty God. And he is the one to have all the glory in the situation. And as a nation, with God in charge, they need to know their limitations. They can't get out of this situation on their own. And the people cry out to Moses, and they complain in verses 11 and 12. Why did you bring us here? Did you bring us to the desert to die? We'd be better off in Egypt, serving the Egyptians, than to die here in the desert. But the people had the very presence of God with them. The fire was still there, or the pillar of cloud was still there. And yet they didn't believe and trust that God would deliver them. And then verses 13 and 14, God says to Moses, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. You'll never see these Egyptians again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only need to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on, to raise your staff, and out your hand, and the sea will divide." You see, from being afraid, scared, and worried, God says to them in one action through Moses, "Trust me, and I will deliver you. I have promised to the land to Abraham centuries before, you will go to the land of Canaan, and I will deliver you." And I'm sure you've all pictured the scenes from the storybooks. You know, you can probably imagine, imagine this building here, you know, a wall of water either side here, and then the people walking through. But there are about 2 million people, 2 million Israelites, there camped by the shore. We're told earlier there were 600,000 men alone, double that with the wives and the women. Add on the screaming kids as they were all coming through as well. Add on all the livestock, all the other people that left with them. There would have easily been over 2 million Israelites to cross across the Red Sea. Most commentators say the distance they had to cover was about 13 or 14 miles. To get that many people across that distance, the sea would have to be over a mile wide. The gap would have had to be over a mile wide. God doesn't just create a little alleyway for them to walk through. He rips the sea apart. And he delivers his people. And you know the story. The sea comes, the Egyptians follow, and they are destroyed. But I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read these kind of stories, I struggle to, you take in the size of the events, the directness of kind of deliverance, the breadth of what God has done, and you understand it, and you kind of know that God is God, but then it's sometimes difficult to take that and, well, apply that to my situation, or the situation that I am in. But simply, God wants us to know who is behind what happened here in Exodus. And whatever your circumstances here this morning, this passage is teaching us to view our circumstances with God in it. And no matter what situation you are in, we have a God who delivers and rescues. And though we have limitations, he has none. We have limitations, but he has none. And when you bring the one who saved Israel into your situation, then things change. You see, if a believer here this morning, we have the same God with us. The exact same God who tore the sea apart is in the midst of our lives. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the fear that the Israelites felt, it was real. This isn't just a story. It was real fear. The pain, the hurt, the difficulties in this wilderness life that each one of us face are real. But everything changes when instead of facing those situations on our own, in our own weakness, in our own limitations, we face them with this awesome God by our side. And this week, you and I will see many, many circumstances, many situations, maybe this past week, where you're aware of your own limitations, your own weaknesses. And there is so much in our lives that is beyond our control. But you belong to a God who delivers you. And we see some of these themes so clearly when we look back at the cross. If ever there was a situation that seemed impossible from the human eye, it was Jesus on the cross. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, hanging on the tree. And Jesus takes that situation and he tears it apart. And he gives us all hope from the cross. The tomb with the stone, Jesus buried there. What good could come of that? Well, Jesus tears away the stone and he is risen and he is our Saviour. And Christians here this morning, he has taken an impossible situation. He has rescued you from death to life. The fact that we can call ourselves children of God is through the miraculous deliverance of God. Our trials and our hardships of life are difficult. Yet they're hopeless if we don't see God in the midst of them. And sometimes we can't see why certain situations are happening to us. But the God who created us and redeemed us never ceases to work out his purposes in our own lives. For the whole cosmos, for his church, and for every individual in Christ. And this is how it was for those Exodus pilgrims. Nothing touches us today, except by God's determination and in accordance to his will. And he loves us, and he is too great for it to be any other way. And as we go through our life, and particularly as we face difficulties and trials, we can see fear and worry as both a friend and an opportunity. It might seem strange, but you can see it as a friend because it reminds us of our own limitations. Reminding that you are not in control. And we can see it as an opportunity at that moment to turn from our own limitations and turn to the one who doesn't have any. Turn from yourself and turn to Almighty God. And David says this in Psalm 56. He is in this situation not dissimilar to the Israelites when he is about to be taken by the Philistines. And what does he say? When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. And in this opportunity to turn to God, we can trust in him and lean on his promises. You see, sometimes the promises of God and his character is all that you have in your situation. You can't see why God is putting me through this. You might not see a way out in your own strength. It might be too hard for you to move on. You might say, well, it's all very well for God to bring me into these circumstances, but I can't see him. He's not visible. It's like God is not there. He's not going to wipe away my troubles like he did the Red Sea. But remember, he's guiding us. And sometimes we feel as though we have a need to seek a way out of our situation or seek particular guidance from God. But sometimes we just need to be still and wait for God's guidance to come to us. You see, the God who is the great moving pillar, as we'll see as they take them through the wilderness, he's still the same. He's still conducting the pilgrimage of his people. So what can we practically do? Well, when we say we have God and he is our pillar, but he speaks to us these days by his word. So what can I do? Well, I'll open my Bible. And I'll stand firm on God's promises. And I'll ask his Holy Spirit to be with me. Maybe I don't understand why I'm in this situation. I don't like being in this situation. It may not be obvious to me how I got into this situation, but I can recognize my own limitations and turn to an awesome God. And in those circumstances, we can stand on God's promises. I will live by faith and trust that he will deliver me. And I can claim the promises. I don't have a job and I'm struggling to pay the bills. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm weary, I'm struggling. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Maybe I'm struggling in sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Maybe ask, why am I in this situation? Romans 8:28. We know all things work for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his promise. And the Bible is full of promises. And we can take God's promises literally, and we can hold on to them. And we'll see in the series to come that after this deliverance, the people will spend 40 years in the wilderness. And that's a picture of the Christian life that we all live. It'll be full of ups and downs as we follow our God. But for us, we have guidance in this life, not through a pillar, but through a living word. And we should always be living our life leaning on the promises in his word to accompany us every day. And we'll find that they are faithful and they are true. And it's easy for the people of Israel to see the guidance in front of them, but as we'll see in the coming weeks, it'll be less easy for them to obey what God commands. Time and time again, we'll see how they lose sight of who God is. But this morning, put your trust in him, the God who guides the Israelites into an impossible situation so that he can tear it apart and he can deliver his people. And I'd encourage you to read chapter 15 when you get home. And verse 2 says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And that is the God that you belong to. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to know that he is guiding us home. He will deliver us one day. Not to Canaan, but to glory. In heaven to be with him. And we all walk each step in our wilderness walk with a God who delivers us. And amazingly, he gave us his son to get us there. Verse 13 in chapter 15 says, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. And if we start to fear or worry this week, see it as a friend. Because it reminds you of your limitations and an opportunity to turn to the one who doesn't have any limitations, to turn from yourself and to turn to Almighty God and stand on his promises. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Move on. Let's pray.